Good morning. My name's Trey, if you don't know me, that's okay. I'm so excited to be a member of Generations Church. It's amazing as we've been talking about getting in the game. One of the things that struck me and my wife about this church is that it has an incredible understanding of when it's a great time to serve hard, play this game, but also to rest. It's one of the biggest drawing factors of why I've chosen to be members of this church and come and be here long term, because we love to see that. So I just wanted to say, PB, family, enjoy your time off this week. Even the pastor gets a time off to rest. And I know sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, I'm worried I'm going to start serving and it's going to take up so much of my life. No, this church respects your time and wants you to serve knowing that you're going to get that rest. And so they're on that rest week. And so he asked me to come and speak to you today on his behalf. So I'm very excited. If you want to turn to John chapter 13, you could probably already guess we're going to be looking at the washing of feet. We'll talk a little bit about the video. And John 13, we're picking up right after the Passover. And Jesus is having the Last Supper with the disciples. And then it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, he understood what was about to happen, right? That he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. When we think about getting in the game and serving Jesus and serving God and doing this aspect of our life, the biggest question I want to ask you today is, who are you playing this game for? Is it for you? Is it for your husband? Is it for your wife? Is it for your friend? Is it for your family? Is it for a stranger? Is it for your enemy? Is it for someone you hate? Why do you serve? Why are you in the game? Who are you in the game for? I want you to think about that as we go through the scripture. Who are you playing for? Who are you in the game for? Who are you serving for? And Jesus here says he loved them to the end. And it's talking, and I know the general thought, it's like, oh, the end is like his death. But I want you to think grander. I want you to think bigger. The Greek word is telos there. The end means telos. This means to perfection, to completion. He's not saying he loves them to his death. He's saying forever. To their very perfection, as they are given new bodies and new life and new heaven and earth at the very end, Jesus loves them completely. I've been blessed to be with my wife 25 years. But even in a relationship that long, you can't completely or perfectly love anybody. It doesn't matter how long. We have members here that have been married 60 years. You can't even after all that time truly love someone completely. But yet, Jesus here is saying he loves you that way. We run and we try to find perfection in our life, and the world is running and it's running to find everything. Why are people so obsessed with who? Oh, I need to find out who I am. I need to find out what gender I am. I need to run to these things. It's identity. They're missing a huge factor of what God is telling them and what Jesus is doing for them. They're looking for completion. They're looking for that missing piece, that thing that would make them complete. Jesus is confessing his love to the disciples and saying, I love you to the end. Going on in verse 2, and the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, by the way, Jesus loved Judas Iscariot, to the end. Completely. But he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to betray him. He knew that he was going to prepare him for the cross. God does not care what you have done or what you are going to do. He loves you completely regardless of you. It's never been about you or me or any of us. Our failures, our faults, our mistakes are not relevant in the game. They do not make up who we are to the game, to service, to the kingdom of God. They only make up what? It's us. That's it. God's thinking about eternity. We're thinking about finite things of ourselves in this moment. He loved Judas no matter what was about to happen. And it says, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus knew the plan. He knew it was coming. He understood his death was coming. He rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, verse 4, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. I don't know if you've ever washed anyone's feet. It's not the best thing. I did this as an experiment in a youth group I was pastoring for a while. I wanted to try it out, and I washed feet, and I was like, whoa, that was so uncomfortable. And some people didn't want you to do it, right? They were uncomfortable with the process of doing it. Never done it again, but the idea is that, like, you're putting yourself beneath. You're lifting yourself below. It's even worse when you think about what Jesus is doing them. Why? Because they wore what all day long? If you know, sandals. That's all they wore. They wore sandals all day on muddy, dirty, let's just be honest, poop-covered streets. There's donkeys. There's animals, livestock everywhere. It's not like they're walking around with the cleanest feet. It's probably tenfold what he was doing in the video with the hippies. Chuck Smith did do that. That is a true story. He brought in the hippies, and when his congregation was complaining about the carpet, all he could think about was this passage. And he said, well, then their feet can't be dirty. I'm going to wash them. Jesus was abasing himself, humbling himself. Wait. God humbled himself? Yeah. In the very act of washing the feet, he served them. We pick up, so if you want to turn just a little bit later in verse 12 here. So when he had washed their feet, so this is after, if you want to read about Peter in the middle, go for it on another time. So when he had washed their feet in verse 12, and taken his garments and sat down again. Jesus always has a lesson. And he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Do you understand it? Do you get it? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also have to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. Such an important example. We have to understand that if we love Jesus, we would follow his example. I like to say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. He's saying, I'm going to wash their feet. We should be willing to wash the feet of the people. I was at this church called the Packing House in Southern California, and the youth pastor had brought me into the youth pastors, and I was so excited to be a part of the process they were doing. Just an incredible church. And he calls me and he's like, hey, you know, I want you to come down. We're going to go over some scripture. We're going to do some things. And I was like, awesome, awesome. So I get in there and I'm like ready. You know, I'm probably in similar clothes to now. And I get out there and he's like, why are you dressed like that? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, we're going to put brick. We're going to rebuild this wall that fell down. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, we're going to rebuild the wall. And we went out there. He got me a different shirt. And I learned how to mortar a wall and put a brick wall up. And you know who was all out there putting this wall up? All the pastors. They had 7 pastors on staff there, and every single one of them it was a pretty big wall, by the way, but they were all putting up the wall. It changed my mind on thinking where we wash feet. No one is above any measure of service, because every individual aspect of this. I am new to the process today. I'm getting in here. I'm excited to teach, and I've taught a lot, probably 1,000 times in my life. But the systems and everything that this team here has, where's the mic? And okay, where's my cue? And where do I stand? And what goes on? And how do this all takes individual people. It all takes them all going around. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it takes all these individual people, all the individual talents, all working as one body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12, I'm going to turn there myself. For as the body is one and has many members, it's like he's speaking to us. Paul's like, hey, you're all the members. That's you. When are you a member? When you're a Christian. If this isn't your church, all good. You are a member somewhere. You are a member of that body, but let me tell you, the truth is, this is a building with members of Christ's body, and there's other buildings with members of Christ's body. We are all one in Christ. We're just serving different purposes at different times. Here he's saying, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. We are one. Nothing that I do up here today makes me any different from any of you. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different skills. This is actually why we're so amazing. God painted with an incredibly beautiful canvas. My wife is an incredible artist, and as I watch her paint and use different mediums of art, I see beauty in these things. God did not create this earth ugly. He created it with such beauty, wonder, splendor. You would just look up at the stars and see his handiwork. Every state you go to, I get the opportunity to travel a lot. You see so many different incredible beauty. I see so much beauty in things. I went out to Louisiana and people always say, oh, Louisiana's just full of bugs and mosquitoes and humidity. That's what I always hear. And I got a chance to go out to Baton Rouge, and it was just, the sun was just setting, and I was sitting outside, and there was this beautiful lake and these hills. And then, if any of you have been out there, the fireflies came out like crazy. It was so beautiful. I thank God for giving me that moment, because he was showing me his painting. He was showing me his diversity and his creation, just like us. We are one body in Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. I love he's like, I baptize you in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. He was baptizing their feet, and I know he was a little bit of joking, but it's true. We are baptized in the Spirit. As we receive Christ and we receive that water baptism, we have the Spirit of God that flows through us. It comes over us. We are baptized into that body. Neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact that the body is not one member, but many. Paul's really nailing the point down here for you. And I love how detailed he gets here. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. We would all agree that I am using feet. I'm using my hands. Probably too much. We do these things, why? Because it's part of our body. You don't even think about it. Your heart beats and you're not thinking about it. You breathe and you're not thinking about it. Well, okay, now you're thinking about it because I said it. And I apologize for the delay in your breath that you probably took. But the idea is that you don't think about these things. It's your body. It moves. It does what it's what supposed to do. It has a purpose. It has a mission. Every mission, every part of the body, it works together for a greater good. God wants us to understand that. Why? Why did he put this in Scripture? Because it's so easy for us. I spent years killing myself over my sin, over my fallings, over my shortcomings. I thought, I am not worthy to preach the name of Jesus. As a young boy, God said, you ought to speak my name. I want you to get up and I want you to preach. I was only in fifth grade. And I said, God, no, that's crazy. I'm in fifth grade, man. I don't know what you're talking about. He meant it. But God never got in the way of that. Jesus never got in the way of that. The Spirit never got in the way of that. You know who got in the way of that? This guy. Because I told myself, I am not worthy, I am not capable, I am not able-bodied to do these things. And I'm not. But in Christ, I'm a new creation. In Christ, you, as the members in the body of this church, are new creations. Whenever I hear someone say, I'm not. I can't. I don't know how. That's right. That's why people teach. That's why people mentor. If you're like, God's got a pulling on your heart to do a ministry right now, I'm telling you today, I don't care what your I'm not is. I don't care what the thing you think disqualifies you. I don't care what sin it is. You know what we can do? We can sit down. We can pray with you. Jesus has already forgiven you the minute you asked him. And you can take the time to let his forgiveness wash over you, and we can get you serving. We can get you in the game. Why? Because Jesus wants you to be part of this body. How can we function if we don't have feet? We can't walk the way we ought to walk. What if you are part of the feet that we're missing? What if you're part of the heart that we're missing? I always like to say the heart of the church is prayer. If you are the one sitting at home sweating and praying over this church and over the people that haven't received Christ, you are the heart and establishment of this church, and God is using you in those gifts. It is just as powerful and as amazing as any of the other limbs. Man, when you come in here for the first time at this church, it feels amazing. I remember the first person that met with me. Almost everybody that's a member here could guess who was the first person that I met with. Absolutely, it was Guy. My brother met me, and he didn't just shake my hand. It's like he knew. Well, he probably knew. He could sense I was a hugger, maybe. But he knew, and he came in, and we hugged. And I could tell he loved Jesus to the very core of who he was. You don't know how important that greeting ministry is to the body of this church. I, even as a pastor coming into this church for the first time, was incredibly impressed and amazed by the love of this individual. We need people that have smiling faces, that can wave, that can love people as they're coming in the door. We need you. That's the hand waving at you right when you're driving up. We need that level of love and service. You are part of the body. You are valuable. Please do not feel disqualified. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit as you receive Jesus and baptize in that Spirit. He goes on to say in verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not the body, well, I can't speak. I can't do what you're doing, Trey. Well, one, I went to school for this, so there you go. And then two, I went to school when I was 18. I'm 43. That was a long time ago. And I've had lots and lots of years to mess up. I messed up just today. I forgot to pray for communion. I apologize. I sat in my seat and I was like, oh man, it's a rookie move. I prayed there, so hopefully that did the trick. Pretty sure it did. Doesn't matter how much experience, you're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. You probably all saw the mic was going crazy earlier. Now Todd and Brent got it working. Thanks, guys. Like, it's just part of the body. I don't know what he did. I don't know how he did it. Gosh, that's important. But don't say, well, I'm not Todd. I'm not the ear. You know, I can't do this. I can't sing. I can't do this. There is something incredibly valuable God's built in you. If you haven't found it, let us pray for you. If you don't know where that is, let us pray for you. That heart of this church wants to pray that you would find that gift and that you would be put to service. Why? Because Jesus himself washed the feet of the disciples. If you refuse to serve, are you emulating the example Jesus gave you? And again, I'm not saying you need to serve every week. Again, God wants us to have rest as well. But he commanded us to serve one another. He called it upon our life. Oh, I can't, I'm too busy. I'm going to call you out. You know what God does when you give him time? And it's incredible, and so many people could probably say amen to this. You know what happens when you serve God? He gives you time back. Oh, I can't. No, you can. You know what you can't afford to do? Get the years back you missed serving God. Most people that have lived a life in Jesus Christ, their regret is always the same. There was this dear brother in the Lord I got to meet when I was 18 years old. He was 98 years old, and he was still teaching. He was teaching a class. His name's Tom Mouch. He was teaching a class, a Psalms class, one of the most beautiful class. He read it like it was the most beautiful literature that had ever existed. I mean, he was from a different century, so. And he was like, so profound. You could just see the Spirit of Christ move over him in everything he did. And I just was amazed. And I said, when are you going to stop teaching? And he goes, so this is the plan. And he says to the whole class, he's like, this is my plan on when I'm going to stop serving God. 98. He said, I'm not going to wake up. It's like, that's a good plan. The men heard me say this, but one of my favorite quotes about this, J.C. Riley said, one of great Satan's lies to you is that you're too young to serve the Lord. And then the other great lie is you're too old. In that clip of Chuck Smith was a failing pastor. His church was decimated. It wasn't working. I got to firsthand do a pastoral class with him, and he talked about this very subject and how he had almost given up on being a pastor because they couldn't afford it anymore. He talked about how him and his wife, Kay, were praying, and people would send like $5 in the mail, and they would go to the store and buy beans and white bread because at that time you probably could afford all that for that, and that's all they would eat for the entire week. And he was grateful that God was still sending those $5 bills in the mail. He had no idea where they were coming from. That video, he had just turned 43 when he baptized those people's feet. He died in his 90s, having established over 1,800 churches nationwide. Doesn't matter how old you are, Satan's lie is you're too old to serve Jesus. I would challenge you that the day you don't wake up is the day you stop serving Jesus. You know why? Because you're going to be with him. The service will have been done, and you will have fulfilled what God has called upon your life. If you want to turn to John 3:17, I know I'm throwing you off on that one. You know, everyone always quotes John 3:16, but I think 3:17 is very underrepresented in these famous verses. But you never hear it talked about. He said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Jesus came so that the world could be saved. The word here, I love the Greek. You ever talk to me, I love the Greek and the way that it works. The word him here is really interesting in the passages. It's adu, and it means all-encompassing. It means everything. Through everything might be saved. He is everything. He is all-encompassing. He is representing. God is everything. We lose sight of this because the world has so many things. Money, all, you know, relationships, family time, all these things that push and pull, and they make us dizzy. They spin us around. This is a reminder that you were not created to do just life. You were created to do life in Christ. And trust me, it's not fulfilling when it's without him. It's unbelievably fulfilling and brings your entire soul to exactly where it ought to be. Why is the world looking for it so desperately? Because they need it. They put all the wrong pieces in place. But Jesus is and will forever be the only correct piece that goes in there. So I want to ask the question again as we're wrapping up here. Who are you playing for? Again, is it a specific person? If it is, I will call out, husbands, if you are serving because your wife has told you you have to serve, it's the wrong heart. You should serve because it is the heart of Jesus in you. Women, same thing. If your husband is saying, you got to serve, you got to do something, challenge you to stop worrying about what he thinks and start worrying about what Jesus Christ thinks of your service. Youth that are in here, it doesn't matter that you're a youth. You can come up here and play percussion and be used by God. You can preach. In fifth grade, I was speaking to the first and second graders. God can use you at any age. Who are you playing for? All the things that we went through with Pastor Bob, essential, but if they're not done for Jesus Christ, you're not even in the realm of the game. Serving without Christ is an oxymoron. It actually makes no sense. You serve for self because it makes you look good. I challenge your heart today. If you think your ministry is going good and you're doing it for yourself, imagine what it can do with Christ powering it. Put him first. Play for Jesus Christ first and foremost. He is the one that is going to bring that to you. We're going to have one more verse I want to read here in Mark, and I totally lost my tab. In Mark 16:15, it's up there for you if you don't want to turn to it. If I can find it. See, I'm bound to make a mistake. Always happens. Lost a marker in my book. Okay, 16:15. And he said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to throw Greek at you one more time. You might go, the word creature is really weird. The Greek word is ketes. It means whole creation. So read it one more time. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. God loves every single person. It doesn't matter what religion they're currently practicing. I don't practice religion, by the way. I have a relationship. That's what separates Jesus from everything else. It's a relationship. It's more meaningful and impactful than anything you'll ever do in your life. We are called to serve all creation. And when you serve Jesus, you are doing that. Even if it's just washing the feet, as Jesus did with the disciples, it is incredibly important and valuable. If you didn't grab a card and you didn't fill it out and you're not in the game, why not? If you love Jesus, he has called you to serve all creation. They're out there. Ask anybody with a badge on, myself, we'll get you one. Serve him today. And if you're like, I don't know who Jesus is, I've never had him in my life, I want to give you an opportunity right now to come to his throne room. If you're like, I've been lost and I have no identity, I've been chasing all these sin, all these things in the world, today is a day you could become a new creation in Christ. And I ask if everybody could bow their heads. If you are someone that feels like, and maybe it's even just that you really haven't ever received it, maybe you've been around it your whole life, if you have never received Jesus Christ in your life, I'd love for you to raise your hand right now. This would give us an opportunity to pray for you, to be a friend to you. God doesn't want you to miss a day in your life without coming to him. And it doesn't have to be in this moment. If after you're like, Lord, I need you. We would love to pray with you and we'd love to spend that time. Lord, I pray that you would touch the hearts of this incredible body of your people, Lord. The body of Christ that dwells in this church, Lord. I pray that we would be your hands and your feet, that we would go and we would preach the gospel to every creature, every creation, that a movement would be started by generations that would go to all ages, young, old, everything in between, it doesn't matter, but that we would be your hands and feet, we would be the example, the representation of who you are. Lord, help us serve you, help us love you, and praise you more. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. We're going to close with one more song. I would just pray, if you don't know where you should serve, pray. Let God help you. He'll give you the answer.